Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today's episode. This is the 24th episode, and I have with me my sweet friend Shannon Ahlberg. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great. I'm enjoying the fall weather.
Oh, me too, girl.
It's a little hot today.
Oh yeah, like the summer weather is overrated. I love like the fall weather. That's my favorite.
Yes, yes, especially living in Kansas. The wind blows all the time, so I'm super excited for a little bit of cool wind to blow.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I saw a meme the other day, and it said, you know, my summer body was not ready, but my winter body is on point.
So. Oh, yes. Bring on the sweaters. They cover everything, right?
That's right. Well, I'm super excited to have you on today, and I know that what you're going to say is going to be really encouraging to those that have a heart for missions, and we're going to talk about that today on the show. So, Shannon, I know you recently went on a mission trip, and I know God did amazing things, and I wanted to see if you would share just kind of your experience with it and how you got involved with it and how others can get involved with missions too.
Sure. Yeah, my story is kind of crazy. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents have been married for almost 50 years, and you know, I went to church every single Sunday, went to church camps growing up, was in youth group. So, I mean, my journey has been kind of faith-based. I mean, I, you know, not that I'm a perfect person by any means. We all sin, but...
That's right.
I just really felt like, you know... Even in my job, I work at a middle school. It's a Title I middle school, and I kind of felt like that was my mission field. I mean, I work with kids all week long who come from broken homes, foster care, and you know, and I really felt like blended families. I really felt like, you know, God was calling me to just help out when I could with that.
Yeah.
And my husband, he kind of had a different approach, and he said, you know, babe, I think that we need to go out of the country. I want to do a mission trip. We need to go out of the country. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I think I do my work here, and I'm fine. And I just never knew that my heart could be broken for God.
Yeah.
And I know that comment seems like crazy, but God just knew that I was extremely complacent in my life, and that I was missing something. And I don't think I knew what it was at the time. And so, you know, I prayed about it, and I asked him, I said, well, where do you want to go? And he was like, well, I don't really care. I think it would be fun for, you know, you and I. We were married. We had two kids. Our kids were younger. I think Avery was seven, maybe, when we went on our first trip.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it as a mom, and I know you know this, but part of it as a mom, like, you're so into your children and their lives,
yeah,
that it's hard to think of going to a third world country when you have kids. And what would happen if something happened? And, you know, all those
right.
things, and that's Satan talking. But all those things started running through my mind of, okay, but what if we go and, you know, something happens? And I don't know, that fear crept in. And he said, you know, you could die in the car driving across town.
Yeah.
You know, this is something I feel God is calling us to do. And so he said, let's think about where we should go. And I remember, I think I was in the fifth grade, maybe fifth or sixth grade. I had gone to a church camp as a kid. It was called King Solomon Camp. And I remember they brought in a missionary during the week to kind of talk to us about, you know, his mission project. And it was a missionary that our church supported. And he was from Haiti. And I remember his smile was just contagious. And every time you saw him, he was smiling, and he was just very jovial. And so I just remembered him for a long time. And so I said to Josh, I said, you know, I really would like to find him. Like, and maybe we could just go visit him. Like, that'd be our mission trip. Aww. And he said, well, okay. So I looked into it with the church, and the church was getting ready to leave for a trip to Haiti. And I remember asking, you know, could we go with you guys? And they said, oh, we've been planning for quite a while. We, you know, you can't join in this trip this time, but maybe next year. So, like, oh, gosh. I was like, no, I'm ready to go now. Like, I want to go now. and I just, I was so excited about going all of a sudden. And so it ended up where Josh and I ended up having to lead a trip to Haiti.
Wow.
And I wasn't really ready for that either. But I just think God had, you know, he had much bigger plans for me. He had much bigger plans for my family. And so we signed up and we took our first trip to Haiti. And it was just Josh and I. And then at that first trip, I think that there were six other people. And we went to an orphanage. And we did lots of, you know, different things. We did a vacation Bible school. Josh is a veterinarian, so he did a lot of medical assisting with a dentist family that went with us.
Wow.
And you know, I just think that God prompted me to pray about it, and I just took that leap of faith, and I can't even tell you, Carrie, how much God broke me.
Hmm.
I mean, He took me to Haiti, and he's taken me back 5 times in
wow.
the last 7 years.
Wow.
My oldest daughter has gone 4 times. My youngest daughter just took her first trip this last year. And I just think that he knew I was complacent, and he wasn't done with me. He wanted me to be still. And it's so crazy because you think of a third world country and you think of, I guess what I thought of, I don't know that everybody thinks of this, but I mean, I thought dirty, I thought poor, I thought broken. And while they are all of those things, I mean, they are broken and they are, you know, they are poor, but they're so incredibly joyful in a way that you cannot even imagine.
Hmm.
They have joy of Jesus without even the presence of things.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing in their way. And I saw that. And I think, like, Haiti taught me to be completely and utterly still. And I am a goer. I go, sometimes too often. It's probably one of my biggest faults. But I think that God just wanted me to see his goodness in a broken world. He wanted me to see the joy of a child's face that had nothing but had him.
Yeah.
He wanted me to fully and utterly seek him. And I just think here we're just so consumed with stuff, with busy. And, you know, I can multitask like nobody's business, but I was finding time in my daily walk with him when I was there.
Yeah.
And I was talking, I was taking the time that I should have been taking over here, and I just wasn't finding the time.
Man.
And so I think after that very first visit to Haiti, some seeds had been planted in me that just were different. I mean, I had God as my foundation. I've had him as my foundation my whole life. But I just think that my heart had been broken for him, and I wanted his presence in my life every day.
Yeah.
And I longed for his word, and I wanted to wake up every morning living my life for him and going to bed every night thinking of him. And I just think that that helped. That just helped me put things in perspective differently.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you said, what I loved about what you said that, you know, you went to pursue, after God laid it on your heart, to attempt to go to a Haiti mission trip, but there wasn't a way, so you and your husband stepped out in faith, and you said, okay, well, then we'll lead one. And mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic. So have you led all of them since, or have you just kind of grouped with other people too, or?
Well, the first trip that we went on, we did actually lead. And it's so crazy because we met this other family, the Code family, and they have three children, but they were all grown. But they had become like our family. I mean, we go to dinner with them frequently. It's just so crazy how God puts, you know, people in our path, in our journey that we need in our journey.
Yeah.
At the right time. And so the next two trips we took with them, and there's always been a couple other team members that have gone alongside us, but we kind of made it so that we knew that we always wanted to go with the Code family. Rusty is a dentist, and so he and Josh, because they're both in the medical field, they did lots of dental clinics, and so we did that, but we haven't always led. I've even gone, you know, Julie Code, we've gone just the two of us just together. And then this last time, Josh and I decided that we really wanted to go just as our family. So we went just the four of us, which was, I mean, for us, it was really cool because, you know, the people that we prayed about since Aubrey was born, she, you know, she prays about them every single night, and she'd never met them. And so for us to take her over to Haiti and actually meet
wow
these people that she'd prayed about her whole life was, I mean, it just was so cool. And I loved just seeing her, knowing the people that she'd prayed about. I mean, I have so many stories that I could tell you that are so awesome.
I love it so much.
Well, one in particular, we were in passing to, the very first time that we went to Haiti, we were in passing to the town called Mirabelle, and it was about 2 hours from Port-au-Prince, which is the capital of Haiti and where you fly into Haiti. And we always stopped about halfway, and nothing in Haiti is easy as far as travel. And the roads are bad, and it's in a hot vehicle. Usually it's called a tap-tap, so it's like you're basically like in the back of a truck with a cover. And it's dirty, and so it's just hot. It's very hot. But so we were in this tap-tap, and we were driving, you know, about 2 hours. So you're 2 hours in the back of a truck. Picture that.
Wow.
And it's hot and dirty. And so we pulled over to the side of the road. There were like, kind of like vendors, not like you would see in the United States, but like big huts with people selling like turkey legs or piles of shoes for kids, like all different things. And so they said, well, we're going to stop here and you can get a drink. And they sell bags of water, and they're just in like what you would call like just a little plastic bag, and then you just like tear the corner off with your teeth and you drink the water out of it.
Hmm.
And so we stopped, and this lady, a really nice Haitian lady, we stopped and got water from her. And there was this little girl, and she was sitting on just like a little rug that was in her parents' tent. And I kind of waved to her, and I asked our interpreter to ask how old she was. And she said she was 8. And I asked what her name was, and she said, Uska. Well, so the next time, you know, like I showed her a picture of Avery, because Avery at the time, I think, was eight years old. And so the very next time that we went, we stopped at that same booth, and I asked if Uska was there, and I had Avery with me. And so she met Avery. And Avery had brought her a pair of shoes that she had painted on and made from Hobby Lobby. She painted like Katie on them and made her these shoes. And so the next two times that we went, Avery stopped at that same booth and met Uska. And her mom would call for her, and she would run down off this mountain, and she would come down and see Avery. And so it was just crazy because, you know, a whole year had passed since we had been the year before, but this little girl remembered my daughter. And Avery remembered her, you know, and it was somebody that Avery prayed for every single day. And just this bond that was formed with this little girl, you know, over a pair of shoes or just because she cared. And so, like, just, I mean, I have tons of stories like that, but it's just neat to see your children love on other children.
Yeah.
But especially when you go to a third world country.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, my first mission trip, I went with my youth group to Mexico, and we did that. And one day, this is kind of a silly story, but one day my youth pastor is like, okay, before we head out, I want everyone to have their quiet time. So get out your Bibles, you know, and he had some questions and a little devotional for us to do. And so as everybody is spread out, you know, and trying to kind of get their quiet place and have time with the Lord, I was sitting there and I was praying. I had my Bible opened on my lap. And when I opened my eyes, there was a huge, huge praying mantis on my Bible. And so I screamed so loud and everybody was like, what in the world? But going there was such a wonderful experience, and just seeing kids that were thankful, you know, like, I remember several of us gave kids our shoes, and watching kids play with bugs for fun because they were too poor to, you know, have anything else. And I think we're so spoiled here in America, to be honest with you. And we're such an instant gratification country, that we forget, you know, to be still, like you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel that way. I just feel like you just get so busy, and it's not that you don't want to be too busy for God, but you just get so busy that if you don't start your day with God, sometimes you don't find time in your day for Him. And over there, you find time because I don't want to say there's nothing else to do, but it's just different. It's just not, I don't know. These kids just find the joy in every little thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember even taking them over. Avery would take duct tape, and some of the kids would just make balls of duct tape. Like, they didn't need to make fancy little wallets out of duct tape, or, you know, things that our kids make out of duct tape. And I don't even know that kids do duct tape anymore, but I mean, I just remember they would make balls out of duct tape and kick those around like a ball. And that was fun for them. I mean, and it was something so, so little. And it just was really cool. I would not be able to talk about Haiti without mentioning, I met, the very first time I went, I met a little girl. She was 13 at the time, Flancia. And she would follow me around at the orphanage. And I just formed this relationship with her. And my family has always asked me, you know, why, Mom, don't you like little babies or kids? You know, because I've never been a baby person. I've always been, I love teenagers. I love them. I mean, that's why I work in the middle school. Like, I love teenagers, and I love teenage girls. I have a heart for them.
Yeah.
And I have a heart for the broken teenage girls because, you know, I love the girls that eye roll me because I know what that means. I can eye roll like the best of them. But, you know, I found this little girl, oh my gosh, in just a week, my heart was so broken when I had to leave because I had formed this relationship with her, and, you know, I'd prayed with her and she followed me around. And so I kept in touch with her. And it's so crazy because most of these orphanages have Wi-Fi because of the Americans that come over. And so she was able to stay in touch with me. She would FaceTime me. Or call me or just message me through Messenger on Facebook. And so I was able to stay in touch with her. And I was going about once a year. And so I was able to stay in touch with her, and I became her sponsor. And so we would, you know, go over there, and I would just long to see her. I mean, I came back so broken that first time. I wanted, you know, I told Josh, we've got to adopt her. And he, you know, he totally felt the same way. He'd found a little boy, Justin, who was deaf, and he had fallen in love with him. And we just both felt like called to bring them here. You know, we just both felt so broken about it. We wanted to bring them here. And the more we went over, the more we realized, you know, we don't have to bring them here. We can still do things for them and let them still live in the country that they live in. We can support their education. We can pray for them. You know, I've had two fundraisers to try and raise money for their organizations. But I mean, it's just been so, God has just been so faithful in allowing my family to still be active, even though we're here in their lives.
Yeah.
Flauncie is now 20. And, just this last time that we went to Haiti, she had actually, the American missionary, Amber and Gaston Bachelier, who we initially met when we went to the orphanage, have started their own organization called New Song Mission. And they've moved to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, which is clear up in the north part of Haiti, in a very unreached part of a community. We've now been to Port-au-Prince twice. Another organization has started called the Avery House for girls who have aged out of the orphanage to live in. And Flauncie had moved to the Avery House because she was close to 20. She moved to the Avery House. And so we went this last March, or actually, I'm trying to think. Yeah, we went in March. Over spring break, and we got to see her the first week that she was at this house. And so it's just been really cool because we've watched her grow.
Yeah.
And we've watched her journey, and it's just been, you know, I mean, I would not be able to talk about Haiti without talking about Amber or Flauncie, because I mean, God has put those faithful friendships in my life for a reason. And, you know, and now I have a huge passion for Haiti, and I do get criticized often. As I think, I don't know, I wouldn't want to say that a lot of people do, but you know, I know that the people that love to go out of the country for missions, people say, well, why not here? Why not in America?
Right.
America's got so many problems too. There's tons of problems with kids here. And, you know, I used to get offended by that because I was like, well, gosh, you know, why does it matter what I'm doing as long as I'm doing something?
Right.
But now my response to them is, you know, I feel like I do both. I love to serve here. I love to help out kids here. I love to go down and serve at the homeless shelter. Like, I love to do those things. I love serving projects. But I love to go to Haiti.
Yeah.
You know, I love to love on the lost and love on the broken. And I just think, you know, like whatever it is that anybody wants to do, whether it's serve at the Lord's Diner or serve at, you know, your homeless shelter or tutor at your child's school, like that's your mission field. Like
right.
Whatever it is, I think everybody's called to something.
Yeah.
And that's your mission field. And I just think be happy for whatever people are doing. Like, find the joy in serving someone and be okay with whatever they're, you know, whatever they're doing.
Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, people just get easily offended. So they feel like they have to, you know, go critique somebody else's things. And they just, anyway, I totally agree with you. I think we should all just, you know, be excited that we're all serving and, you know, serving where we feel called. And so, you know, I have a heart for everyone just like you too. And God's burdened my heart really for, the people here, and I have burden for other people too. But I feel like, you know, the disciples, they couldn't all stay in one place. They all had to spread out because that's what we're called to do is go and make other disciples. So just because I might feel called to really have my focus here in America doesn't mean that, you know, just because someone else is doing another focus other places, like one is not better than the other. One is not more important than the other. I think it's all important.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I remember reading a card right after I got home. I think it was like the second time from Haiti, and it said, God will guide your footsteps if you're willing to move your feet. Mm. And I just think that's something that's so cool to live by. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter where it is or when it is, just do it.
Yeah, and I mean, love
just,
that.
Just listen to the prompting of God, and he'll lead you wherever it is that you're supposed to go. But I think the biggest thing is just do it. Because I know, like, for me, initially, it was like, okay, you know, God, Josh, this is not the right time. I've got two little girls. Like, what if something happens? You know, and I think you'll always find an excuse.
Right.
Or, you know, you don't have enough money, or it's going to be too hot, or, you know, there's always something, or I don't have enough time off work, or... I just think you can always find an excuse, and that's Satan.
Right.
I mean, that's Satan speaking to you. And I think you just have to really pray about it, because I think God just wants you to go. Whether it's across town or whether it's to a third world country, he just wants you to go and spread his love and his message to the broken and the lost.
Yeah.
Wherever that may be and however that looks to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so thankful I had you on the show today. And so, Shannon, could you tell everyone, before we wrap it up, where they could find how to get involved in the missions that you were talking about with the New Song Missions?
Yes. So, Amber and Gaston Bachelier, they started New Song North. And I believe if you look on the Facebook, it's like NSN. And then it's AYITI, but it's like New Song North Missions, and it's Amber and Gaston Bachelier. And so if you can look on their Facebook page, and you can always find it off of my Facebook page, I can put up a link so that you could find them there. But if you ever are wanting to go on a mission trip to Haiti, definitely reach out to me, because... we go often. I know we're planning on going again soon, and I would love for anybody to join us. We've had lots of people from Oklahoma, and we've gone with another team in Oklahoma to Haiti. So, I mean, people from all over can come.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
There's
no boundaries.
I love it. I love it so much. And who knows, maybe I'll go with you someday.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
Awesome. Well, I love you, sweet friend. And I'm so thankful for you.
Oh,
and,
I love you too.
Oh, and thank you so much for being on the show. And again, you guys, you want to get involved in missions, please check that out. And know that everywhere you go is a mission. And so utilize whatever God takes you, utilize that time and don't waste it. So thank you, Shannon.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.